Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. Ed Dufresne. We know you'll be blessed by today's message.
Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I want to talk about some practical living out of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. We'll start with the first verse. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for utterance in the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Father, that you are speaking to us and dealing with us concerning our lifestyle. And I know that the last few years that you've been dealing with the preachers and you've been dealing with the church in our lifestyle and how we conduct ourselves and how we conduct our money and how we conduct our everyday life. That we need to get the world out of us. And we need to walk more in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So Father, give me utterance. And Father, open the ears of the people that they'll hear what the Spirit of God is saying to them this morning. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody in agreement say amen.
Amen.
All right, in Romans chapter 12, let's start with the first verse. And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, we're to put our bodies up as a living sacrifice. And what happens to a sacrifice? It dies. It is dead. So your body is dead to the things of the world. A dead man don't get mad. A dead man does not get even with people. Dead man don't hold grudges. Moving right along since that went over so big. But it doesn't. Now the Lord dealt with me. We read out of these scriptures, kind of went a little different direction in it Friday night. But the Lord kept dealing with me. He said, no, you keep on going. Go Sunday morning with it. He said, because I want to show. He says, you need to read the whole chapter to benefit what he's talking about. Giving up your body as a living sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That we need to renew our mind with the Word of God, that ye may prove what is that is good. Everybody say good.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that do good things. But, you know, I'm not just satisfied in doing good things. I want to do good things. Don't misunderstand me. And the acceptable, you know, there's things that are acceptable unto God, but I'm after and the perfect will of God. How many of you are after the perfect will of God? No less, but nothing but the perfect will of God for your life. That's what I'm after. I want the perfect will of God. I don't want just, Jesus lay hands on you. Well, you did the acceptable will of God, so enter into the acceptable will of God. No, I want to enter into the perfect will of God when I get to heaven too. Ooh, where'd that come from? Glory to God. Can you say amen? You see, accept the perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, if you was here Friday night, we brought out the fact that thinking more highly than you ought to think. Did you know that you think more highly of yourself if you're trying to flow in an office that God never called you to call in? So there's two areas to hear that you can think more highly than yourself by because of God blessing you so much. Now, I've known it for a couple of years, and God has spoke to me in my prayer time. I haven't said too much about it, but there's a lot of ministries right now, and you'll be reading about it, and you'll seeing about it, and so forth like that. And you hear other prophets talk about it, but there's some that think more highly than they ought to think of themselves because God's blessing them so much. Can you say amen? I mean, you can get blessed, you can have a big TV ministry, you can have a big church, you can have all these things, and yet if you're not careful, you allow pride to get in, and then you got all this power, and then you want to control everybody and control the preachers and control the world, the church world, and try to sway people to your fleshly way of thinking. That you're right about everything. Honey, you ain't right about everything. I'm not right about everything. That's why the whole body of Christ that needs to get in together for we can, then we'll be right. You have a portion of rightness. I have a portion of rightness to intervene. Every one of us have a portion of rightness that we don't have the full truth. Every one of us don't have the full truth. Are you listening to me? That didn't go over very big either. Everybody goes, yeah, I know everything. No, you don't know. I know you got the Holy Ghost, but He don't reveal everything to you. If He did, your brain couldn't take it. But He'll reveal to you what you're called in and what you're to walk in. Can you say amen? Amen. That we're not to think more highly than we ought to think. Both ways. Then on the other hand, a guy says, well, you know, I see Brother Hagin operating that in that gift. You know, I think I'll just do that. Now, you see what you're doing. You're thinking more highly than you ought to think is because God didn't give you the grace or the measure of faith to flow into that anointing. And see, you're thinking more highly than you ought to think. And that's where what's happened through the charismatic movement, that people started thinking more highly, and they said, well, bless God, I can do it better than that pastor can. I'll just start a home meeting, go down the street. See, you're thinking more highly than you ought to think. Then on the other hand, if we didn't go out of the church, even with the word of faith, we wouldn't have that great movement that we had. So there had to be a balance there. Are you listening to me? Amen. Now I know when I left my first church, I didn't do it right. And that's because of my immaturity. Everybody say immaturity. In the things of the Spirit. You see, I just know the call of God was on my life and my church wouldn't accept me. So it took me 2 years to get back in love with people because they hurt me so bad. Are you listening to me? You see. But don't think more highly than you ought to think. We ought to flow in that area. Well, there's some things to consider there. There's more things to teach on there. There's more things that need to be dealt with. But to think soberly. In other words, be in the right mind according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Or another scripture, I believe it's over in Ephesians, is according to the gift of grace or the gift that God from Christ that is given to the body of Christ. Did you know that the anointing that is on my life, the anointing that is on Bill's life, is not a gift of the Holy Ghost? It isn't. It's a gift from Jesus. A gift ministry is an off branch of the ministry of Jesus. Huh? It's not the gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's the difference. See, that's the difference. And 1 Corinthians 12 explains that more detail. Well, let's go on. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or the same work. That's why we're all different. Everybody say we're different. You know something? You ought to get off your case. You ought to get off your case. You know, you take Steve here, I'll use him as an example. He's mature, he won't get mad at me or anything else. But there ain't another person like Steve on the face of this earth. When God made him, He threw the mold away. There ain't another Ken Copeland on the face of this earth. There ain't another Fred Price on the face of this earth, but only one. And there ain't nobody, no, you can never be replaced. You really think about that. You cannot be replaced. I'm talking about you, personally. There's only one of you. You really think about that. That makes me worthwhile. If you had an article, they made a whole, like if you made a bunch of Model A Fords and there's a whole bunch of them, and you only had one of those series, you only had one, that piece of, car is very viable. How much more viable are you, David? Thank God there ain't another David. I mean, he gets on that thing and, you know what I mean, the way he ministers and everything. See, a lot of times we try to change people the wrong way. We need to look at the grace and the measure of faith that God gave to them and let them express through their personality the way that God uses them. Now, you know how we do out here. That's why all these other ministers are welcome. The ones that I recognize are welcome to come up here and minister by the Spirit. Because what I brought out, what was it, Friday night, was it, when I brought out that, how many have ever been around horses? You've been around horses a lot. How many of you know that they eat fences? Huh? They can eat fences, can't they? And why? And God told me just the other day when we was going down the street in front of the City of Faith, I about jumped out of my car, man. It hit me so fast. And God said this. He said, the reason there's so much movement in the body of Christ is for the simple fact that all the gift ministries are not operating out of the church. And he said the reason that you have movement, even in this town, we have so much movement. You know, people go over to Bob Yenny, he's the teacher. Then somebody will move over to Victory, there's the pastor. And then people come over here for the prophet's ministry. They go over a different area. But see, the reason is because their body has certain ingredients in the spirit realm. I'm using the flesh realm, for the spirit realm. But yet, a horse, that's why they'll go and chew on to try to get those ingredients that their body's lacking. Can you say amen? And I used to beat people, get mad at them and everything. Quit moving all over the place. And finally God gave me that answer, is because there's something lacking, and when they need that prophet's ministry, then they'll go somewhere else where that prophet's ministry, where they can get that ingredient into their spirit, and isn't that good? You see what? See, that's why I've been talking about team ministries. That's why I'm talking about all the gift ministry, and then a church will be well fed and well taken care of in the spirit realm. Can you say amen? The pastor just can't do it. We need a shepherd. We need a shepherd around here. We need somebody to be able to take care of the sheepfold, take care of being, and smell like sheep, be in the corral with the sheep, be around them, be able to be up all night with them, crying and everything. See, that's what a shepherd does. Now, a prophet, he's different. He's weird. He sits up somewhere and he just floats around. I mean, you don't know where. See, there's different ministries, but every one of them are needed. Can you say amen? That's why there's different parts and different ministries. That every one of them, but we need them all. We need them all in a church where they're flowing out. Now, you could do that in the flesh. Some people, I go to churches and they have this businessman, and he says he's our resident prophet here. I said, is that right? I said, I'll tell you the truth. You probably wouldn't believe God said this, but God said, one guy came up to me and said, I'm the resident prophet here. And God said, no, he's just residue. He just makes a mess all over the place. Prophesying over everybody and make a mess. Can you say amen? Just mess all over the place. No, God sets in the church. You can't get them. Now, we're going to have the fivefold ministry. Now, you're going to be a prophet and you're going to be this or you're going to be that. Well, moving right along since that went over so big. But that's why the body of Christ move around. That's why they go. There's an area where only that one type of ministry will be able to feed them at that time. So that's why we need all the gift ministries. Can you say amen? For everybody to be well fed. I like that. I said I like that. I'm not preaching on that. I got to get down to the real nitty gritty here. Like I said, we're going to talk about practical living, everyday living. So we being many are one. Body in Christ, and every one members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. See, that's where we're different, according to the gifts. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, and he that teacheth on his teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Well, we've had some exhortation this morning. How many were blessed by that exhortation? And he that giveth, let him do with simplicity. Are you listening? Or liberally? He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now notice the ninth verse. Now as he goes on here, we need to learn and read at least one or two chapters before when you start studying something. You see, this is where sometimes we can pull out one scripture and build something on it and you get in trouble. But notice he's talking about renewing your mind and doing something with your flesh for that you'll do the perfect will of God. Now, he's going to give us some practical instructions to do that. He's going to give us some practical instructions how to do that. I love the Word of God, don't you? It always explains itself by the Spirit of God. He's going to explain, and if Jesus appeared to a prophet of God, one of our generals in our land, the spiritual general, and told him that the church is not ready, and more doubt, there's no, it gets right down, is because of our everyday life and the way that we act and the way that we conduct ourselves, that we're not living a holy life.
That's right.
If he says the church is not ready, there's a lot of reasons. And we won't get into that, but this is one of the things right here. So let's read the ninth verse together. Go ahead, Bill, lead us.
Let love be without simulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good.
Now, did you hear that? I said, did you hear that? The real thing. Let love be with a real thing. Everybody say real.
Real.
You know, we need to have real, genuine, agape love for people. Huh? We do. Undisguised. You know, a lot of times we disguise ourselves and we try to act, I love you, brother, but you really don't love them. He's talking about a real thing there. And you can study this out in 2 Corinthians 6:6, 1 Timothy 1:5, 2 Timothy 1:5, James 3:17, and 1 Peter 1:22. Well, there's plenty of scriptures on it. We need the real thing. We need genuine love for one another. We need to love one another. You know, the church is too busy picking at people's faults. Huh? We need to really have the real thing to love one another. And, you know, this backbiting and talking about one another and everything else has got to stop. Now, how many of you want to walk in the perfect will of God? That sounds exciting, you know, that first part and all that. Oh, yeah, the grace ministry and everything else. But then you're going to have to live it. You're going to have... That's why that woman said, I perceive that you're a holy man of God. And after I've been reading this, boy, I've been tested. Every little thing lately is trying to irritate me. Don't laugh at me. You laughing with me. I mean, every one of you put your hand up and know that things irritate you sometimes. Have you ever tried to walk in the agape kind of love and boy, you really get through the test? Every little thing will come along. You know that little guy I've been talking about you show up and say something else about you? Just little thing to get you out of the love of God, walking in the love of God. See, we need the real thing. I told you this is going to be practical day. A real thing, the real love to walk in. And then it says, in the ninth verse there, it says to hate that which is evil. You know, it's amazing to see... Even ministers, since we got 75% or 85% of these people are going to get into full-time ministry, so I'm not talking to a bunch of babies here. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You're going to have to hate what is evil, not gang up with it, not run around. It's amazing that some of the people that Christians run around with. If you hear somebody backbiting, you ought to hate that. No, not the person, but hate that. No, no, I don't talk about that. You don't know the whole circumstances. You don't know everything about it. Well, you know, he did this, and you know, employer, he let some employees go or something. And hey, baby, you don't know the full story. How do you know? Was you there? You know, years ago, I was working on a beautiful building in my first church where I got. There. Built that metal building. I wonder what they're going to do. Well, I don't know, but we know that they listen to God and Ed will obey God. Right. He'll do the right thing. You see, instead of ganging up with the devil and putting witchcraft for that, we can get our mind confused and all messed up, let's hook up what God says. Yeah. Pray in the perfect will of God to be done. I said, pray in the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Let's hate evil. Let's don't gang up with evil. Let's hate it. No, I don't want that stuff around me. I'm going to run around with good people. I'm going to run around people that speak good things. Praise God. Huh? Who was it? Smith Wigglesworth or somebody said that he would never say anything bad about anybody? Was it Smith Wigglesworth? I think they said he'd never... One guy said, well, what do you think of the devil? Well, he's a pretty consistent cuss. I'll tell you that guy, you know. I mean, he wouldn't say bad anything about anybody. Huh? Of course, he didn't cast him out in the name of Jesus. But we've got to hate evil. And gossip is a terrible thing. Everybody say that. Gossip is a terrible thing. It'll destroy a church. It'll bring church splits up and everything else. No wonder Jesus said, you know, the church isn't ready. All this gossip and so much competition going on in the body of Christ. Come over to our place. We're better than them. No, don't do that. Get on your knees and find out where God wants you. You know, we go to what is appealing to the flesh. Well, they got all the facilities. Over there in the church, they don't got nothing. We just go, well, what do you think this is? Huh? You know, where it'll come and where, you know, wherever it's convenient for us. See, that's being in the flesh. We need to pray the will of God where we're supposed to be. And what part do we have in the body of Christ? I think that the most exciting thing to do is God to send you a place that they're pioneering for you to be right involved on the first step of it and everything else. I think that is exciting. And the reason I say that is because that's the way it's always been with me. I've always had to pioneer, get into, you know, where the work is. I said, Lord, you know, I've been in the ministry for 21 years. Why don't I just walk into something? That, you know, just, here it is. Here's an auditorium that says 8,000 people, and here's 8,000 people for you, son. Glory to God. And you got everything there, you know, brand new parsonage. Everything's right there. Glory to God. That's never been that way with me. It's been with other people, but it hadn't with me. I don't know. Maybe I'm griping. You think so? No, I'll tell you what it is because God knows the way that I am. He knows how much you can take. Huh? That's why there's a lot of pastors that God has, and they come in after a man's already pioneered, because he knows that his makeup, his personality, he might have a nervous breakdown, you know, out there and digging ditches and everything. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody has a grace ministry. Every one of us are different, and God uses us in that way. Glory be to God. Every one of you are different. Oh, I wish I could open up your head and put that down in there. Every one of you are different. Have you ever had people you didn't like being around because they were different than you? I've been around some people, and I, you know, just some people, just in the flesh. I just don't, they're just not my kind of people. I mean, they're good people. And I tell you, I have to work on it myself. And don't look at me with those. I have to work on it because they're sweet people. It's just because they don't think like me. Thank you for that one. Ha ha ha. This is practical living, isn't it? Now let's go to the 10th verse. No. Let's finish this. Hate that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. What do they mean by cleave there? Be cemented or glued to good. Cleave to, run around with good people. Cleave to good people. You know, we ought to be very, very careful of the people that we run around with. Huh? Don't run around with people unless you're witnessing to them or something. But I mean, not, you know, your family. Cleave to people that are good people, because spirits are transferable. There's no doubt about it. I know there's a lot of you, you know, you got jobs, you have to work around certain people and so forth like that. Well, you know, you just pray in the spirit over a situation like that and witness to them. But cleave, get glued to good people. Can you say amen? That's good stuff. See, that's what he's saying here. Hate that which is evil, but be glued to that which is good. Do good things. You know, Christians are supposed to be good people. Do you know that? I know that you probably never heard this. Did you know Christians lie? Do you know they'll lie to you? Good. I'm talking about good Christians. Supposed to be Christians. Hot top by satay, dance in the spirit and everything else. Lie? Christians aren't supposed to lie. I mean, we're supposed to keep our word even to our own heart. God, forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us for our flaws. Hallelujah. I know this ain't an inspirational message, but this is everyday life. How many of you want to walk in the perfect will of God? These are things that we're going to have to deal with in our lives. Now, I'm going to say something to you, and you might want to get up and get out right now, but leave your ties before you leave. But you're going to be tested to this. Everything that I read to you in your ministry, you're going to be tested. The devil's going to come and try to steal this word out of you.
That's right.
Oh, yes. Huh? Glory be to God. I said glory be to God.
Glory.
Now notice the 10th verse. Be kindly affectionate one to another. With what? With what? Love with brotherly affection. With brotherly love. In honor and preferring one another. You know, that's the way we with honor and preferring one another. I prefer other people. I prefer these ministers. I prefer people highly than myself. Honor and prefer other people. We need to do that. Just pushing and shoving. I've had people tell me, you know, if you can get with the right people, Ed, your ministry would really take off because they'd put you on their TV program or you'd do this or you'd do that. And you know, that's the way the world does it. Pushing and shoving. Who can get to that? Give the right card to or whatever. Make the right contact. Being at the right place at the right time. I'll tell you, God will put you in the right place at the right time. I'm telling you, God is your employer. God is the one that promotes you, not man. If man promotes you, then you do it in the flesh and it's all in vain. But God's the one that'll promote you. Get with God. Get a relationship with God. Not trying to, you know, there's nothing wrong with having friends. Can you say amen? There's nothing wrong with that. You know, it amazes me the favor that I do have with people. It really does. It's because I made up my mind that I was not going to push myself, but I was going to prefer others and honor other people and be a gentleman and not be pushing and shoving and trying to make something work. I have preachers come and tell, I don't understand. You get calls from all over. I mean, you got plenty of places to preach and I ain't got nothing. I said, you probably ain't got nothing to say. That goes over real big. But you have to realize I've been in the ministry for 21 years and I have some clout in the body of Christ so I can say things like, don't you go out and say that to somebody. You'll get knocked in your head. I said, because you're trying to push and shove and you're at the back door passing out your preacher's card to every pastor's convention there is. You try to do everything you can. Why don't you get with God and let Him promote you? I said, why don't you get with God and quit trying to run over here and trying over here and get next to that one or push that one or, you know, whatever. Huh? Just get alone with God. He's the one that will promote you. I said, He's the one that will take care of your needs. He's the one that will do everything for you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I said, He's the one that will do it.
Yes.
God knows your address.
Yes.
Right. I mean, I did roofs. I work as a carpenter part time. I said, now, if I don't have a place to preach, I go work. I got to take care of my family. Bible talks about you're worse than infidel if you don't provide for your family. And if it ain't working, get out there and get a job. And God's got your address. I told her. I says, if I don't have a place to preach, I go do roofs. I go back to carpenter work. I do it. And you know, God took me up on that. And a little bit of time, I did part-time. And before you know it, I got so busy for God, I didn't even need that part-time work no more. Glory to God. When He sees that you're serious about God. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm helping you, but I'm helping myself. Glory. Preferring one another. No, here's the 11th verse. Are you ready? I don't know if you're ready for this one. Not, let's read it together. For you know that I'm reading it out of the Bible. Not slothful in business. Hold it right there. This is where a lot of them miss it. You know, it's amazing. People think when you in ministry, God does not bless laziness.
That
amazes me. I go, oh, you know, people, well, I joined the church now, and everybody thinks you're just supposed to kick back and do nothing. Or be, quote, quote, spiritual. Sit around in your behind your desk and pray in the Spirit. No, you weren't hired to sit behind the desk unless you're a prayer coordinator. You're hired to work. God does not bless laziness. If you think you're going to sleep all day long and lay around all day long, I'm not talking about coming off the road and resting and so forth. I'm talking about just lay around all day and you think God's going to take care of your needs. You got rude awakening coming. Because poverty will attach himself to you. Can you say amen? Are you listening to me? Not slothful in business. I tell you, I've been in some churches, man. I mean, we're working on it here, man. We're streamlined. But I've been in some churches. You walk in the office and it's just a filthy mess. Things all over. Everybody running in and out of the pastor's office. Everybody don't know what they're doing. And see, God ain't going to bless that place. And they wonder why they're not going to grow. God told me you're being slothful with the seating in here when He spoke to me. That's what He means. He says, you get everybody in this middle section. When that middle section fills up, then you can allow them to come on the side section. You know, God is a businessman. He's a Jew. Huh? Have you ever been in a church that was so undisciplined? Nobody knows what anybody's doing. If somebody sits in somebody else's seat, hey, bless God, you're sitting in my chair. What are you doing? Just undisciplined. And you wonder why they have no problem. Or the kids will start screaming. And the pastor don't want to say nothing because he don't want to offend anybody. And the kid, it's just somebody's prophesying. Well, they should have enough courtesy to pick that child up and take it outside. If you don't, in here, the ushers will help you.
That's right.
Lovingly and affectionately, but they will carry the child out sweetly. You ain't got no love. Well, I'm going to tell you, how can God, if God's trying to say something to you, well, the kid yells, the devil can come over there and torment that little child. I've seen it time and time again. Huh? You know, I'm just being flat truthful with you. Huh? You can't have a ministry here if you're going to run in late, a half an hour late, or, you know, and expect for God to use you all the time. God told me, always be early and you'll always have a job. I've always been early for God and I've always had a job. He's always be the first one on the job and you'll be the last one to get fired off or laid off when in construction. And I've always, and that's the way I've done it, I was always there early before anybody else and I always had a job. Moving right along since that went over so big. Huh? This is practical living. I mean, if you want to walk in the will of God, then we got to do these other things. This is part of it. There's more to, and then you have an anointing. That's why he said, you know, what is it? Help me. The way is, but the gate. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. There's many called, but there ain't that many that get into doing it. That's my translation of it. They work, amen. There are many called, but there's few chosen. Why? It's because right here, this is where they don't want it. This is where the rubber meets. That's the word. Thank you, honey. Praise the Lord. You need to get up here and preach this for me. This is everyday life. This is where a lot of young men and young women, the anointing come on it. But there's practical things in your life that you have to lead. Your business. Are you listening to me? And also, may I say this, in good hygiene. Hello, brother. Some people hug you. God. Woo! And comb your hair and look neat. I've got to tell you, when you get up to the throne room, it's going to be neat and clean. Not looking shabby, your hair hanging on halfway over your head. I'm going to preach this morning, folks. You still got breakfast on your teeth and everything. I told you it's practical day. No wonder God would give us an inspiration before we got into this. Yeah, you know, you got an egg hanging out there, you know. Glory to God. How are you? Woo, bye-bye. How'd I get off on that? Hallelujah. Never be lazy, slothful, or careless. Careless. I've seen a lot of men and women of God come and go. It's because they wouldn't. They just wouldn't discipline themselves. Huh? Moving right along. You getting something out of this? Not slothful in business. What's that next one? Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. What is that? Maintaining a zeal to a boiling point. And you want to know why people are not have no joy and not happy or zeal? See, that's part of it. I mean, you got to stay that way all the time. You see, well, how does people stay that way all the time? Praying in the Spirit. Till you're boiling over, filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. Let's just start filling up right now a little bit. You know, you got a lot of time when you drive the car. There's plenty of time when you can be praying in the Spirit and building up your most holy faith. You do too got time. We just don't want to discipline ourselves. To a boiling over point. I read that early this morning and I was under conviction. I need to be where I'm not boiling over in the flesh. Most of us are boiling over in the flesh. Oh, Lord. I'm not just saying that to you. I'm repenting. Just give me a few minutes here, will you? Lord, forgive me. Hallelujah. That we're to boil over with zeal for God and love for God. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Fervent in spirit. Glory! Maintaining a zeal to a boiling point. I like that. Are you ready for the next one? Or do you want to stop there? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Put your hands up and praise Him and worship Him. The boiling over. Are you listening? Now notice where it says fervent in spirit, and then it says serving the Lord. Put your life into service for God, whether or not you receive personal gain or applause. Personal gain or applause. Can I just be blunt? You know I am. Sweet as I can be. But God vomits away some of these people are trying to get their applause and try to get self-exhortation. God, now I want you to listen to me. God will not allow anybody else to get praise and exaltation but Him. Amen. When you start thinking you're a big shot and you got something, just go back to where you were before you got saved, where God got you. Amen. I know where God got this guy in the pit. Huh? Amen. Not that I'm to live in sin consciousness or anything like that, but are you listening to me? Let me read that again. That was something else. Put your life into service for God. See, this is where a lot of people don't want to do it. Well, what am I going to get at? What kind of salary am I going to get? Now, you should be taken care of. There's no problem with that. I mean, you should be taken care of. But whether or not you receive personal gain or applause. And then you know what you do? You maintain your boiling over in your zeal for God. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen. Notice that next one, the 12th chapter. Rejoicing in hope. Everybody say rejoicing in hope.
Rejoicing in hope.
Not too many people are rejoicing over their hope. Let your hope be a joy to you. How many know that Jesus is coming? You know, when people take that away from us, then we don't have no hope. But He's coming. Now notice it. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Now this is where, I'll be truthful with you, I have some flaws in this area. No, thank you. I do. How many would admit before this congregation And along with me, that this is where I have a flaw of being patient. Okay? Praise God for your honesty. You know God honors honesty. You know, I think a true minister ought to get up and say things like this. Say, Lord, help me in this area. We've made so many heroes out of men, and we think that they don't have no flaws, and they do. Huh? I hear somebody, not me. I guess we could be around you for 12 hours and I guess we could find something. maybe, you know, right guard or something. I mean, there's some flaw that you have moving right along. Glory to God. I'm pastoring you this morning. I don't know if you know that or not. Hospitality. Make a practice of being hospitable. Hospitality. Giving people hospitality and love. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, let's go on. Are you ready for the 14th verse? Bless them. Everybody say that. Bless them. Oh, that sounds so good, Father. Yes, I'll bless people. Now let's read on. Which persecute you. Bless your persecutors. The ones that persecute you all the time. How do you bless? Well, do you know you can bless people with your mouth or you can curse people with your mouth? Well, let's read on. What did it say there? Bless them that which persecute you. Bless and curse not. You know how what you say about your persecutor? Say good things about them. Now that right there is where you're going to find out if you got it. Well, you know, so-and-so said this about you. I'll never forget Oral Roberts. Years ago, he said something. Somebody got up and said, well, you know, these people are talking about you. Well, praise God, they just didn't understand. They're wonderful people. And I couldn't figure that out. I said, here they're trying to crucify the guy. And look what he said. You know what he was doing? He was blessing them. They just don't understand. They just don't understand. You know, they don't understand me or why I'm doing things. He said, they're good people. They just don't understand. Well, why would he say something like that? It's because he's blessing them instead of cursing them. Lord, get those people what they said about me. No, you're not God. I said, you're not God. And you don't know what they're going through. They misunderstand. I mean, there's so much miscommunication today. A lot of things, maybe they thought you said this or somebody said that and it gets back around. But we don't know the full story. And the first thing we're going to do is act like the world. Fight back. Shoot them, kill them, talk about them. I'd tell you the truth. It's worse talking to them what'll come back on you than if you got a gun out and shot them dead. Boy, it sure is really getting quiet in this Presbyterian church now. Man, alive. Huh? Glory to God. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Now notice the 15th verse. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Huh? You know, we need to take a lively interest in blessing in the prosperity of others without grudging. Have you ever been around somebody come up, oh, God's blessing me. Glory to God. Got a new car, pull up in the new car. God, just give me a new home. And all of a sudden you say, get out of here, man. I'm just having a bad day. And, you know, I haven't been blessed in a while. Now look at me in that tone of voice. And you get a stinking feeling towards it. I want you to get out of here. And you get jealous. Now, we got to deal with that. Huh? We need to rejoice. Yeah, I know this happens in preacher's convention. Oh, man, I preached to 5,000 people last week. God opened the door. Oh, well, the preacher. Now, the reason I use preachers is because that's what I run around with. So that's why I use that as an illustration. See, we got to stop that. We say, oh, rejoice and be happy. God bless you, brother. Praise God. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy that God opened the doors for you. Glory. Is there anything I can do to help you? Praise God. We've got to do that. If Jesus says we're not ready, that he can't come and get to the church, this is one of the reasons right here is our lifestyle. That we need to have concern for one another and talk right. Don't be rude to people.
Oh, no.
We need to be sweet to people. Everybody say, I'm going to be sweet. That wasn't strong enough. Say, I'm going to be sweet.
I'm going to be sweet.
Not to you, devil.
Not to you, devil.
But God's people.
God's people.
Human beings.
Human beings.
To the world.
The world.
Baptize me with sweetness.
Baptize me with sweetness.
See, you live a long time if you be sweet. Sometimes I don't feel like being sweet. Tell you the truth, sometimes I don't feel like I don't want to be around anybody. Just leave me alone. I want to stick my head in the ground. I feel that way when I go preaching. I'm on the road twice a day, and after you get off, you know, you just,
You know, and people come around, oh, I want you to minister. Get out of here. Well, you wasn't you the man of power and glory over there at that meeting? Don't look at me that way. You know I'm right. How many know what I'm talking about? We're all human beings. But we need to be sweet. Glory to God. I said we need to be sweet. You know, people, Jesus wanted to get alone in prayer, and the people were thonging him, wouldn't leave him alone, and yet he showed compassion on them because they had no shepherd. He had compassion, the Christ kind of love for one another. Can you say amen? Let me tell you something right now. You know, we're not in competition with anybody. We're not even in competition with the devil. He ain't no competition. He's been whipped. He's already been whipped. We're not in competition. We need to love one another. The problem is with the body of Christ is they don't understand their own calling. That if everyone would find out their measure of grace and measure of faith in the body of Christ, and that we're one in the body, and find it out, you won't be so frustrated. And being jealous of one another and everything else. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Glory. I don't know if you're being helped, but I'm sure I am. And I know that you are. Let's go on. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind of one towards another. I want to say this with you. I want to say this to you. Be careful how I say it. I'm not going to put no time span in it. But I've had staff in the past, out in Los Angeles, and staff, on my staff, that they would hear about somebody that phoned in and had prayer or needed prayer, and they consulted them privately and told them they had this problem. And then I hear the staff sitting around and talking about that person's problem and laughing. I'm going to tell you something. That's the best way to get fired off of my staff right now. That's the best way to get fired. That, when they phone in, how do you know in what shape they are on the other end? They could be suicidal, the devil trying to kill them. And then they got out and they told there something that was bothering them or something like that. And then you told it to somebody and it got out in the congregation and they were out in the foyer and they said, hey, you know this one guy? Bam. That's why I'm very careful when I preach not to, you know, something. I try to be cautious because people don't, let me tell you something. People don't come to church for you to beat them over the head. You know, a pig has enough sense not to go to the trough if somebody keeps hitting him every time he comes to the trough. Isn't that right? I mean, you know, a pig has more sense. I mean, I ain't going back over there to that feed trough. That guy hitting me over the head, that farmer. Huh? They want answers. You hear me, staff? I don't want any. Now, you can come and confront me with somebody's problem, but sit around and talk about somebody's problem in the office for it to get out. That is evil.
Amen.
These are lives, everyday lives, my brother and sister. I don't take it lightly, you being here. These are lives, God's people. And we're ministers. We're not supposed to hurt people. We're to help people. Everybody say, help people. We've got to have that in our heart. Not for personal gain, but we need to generally love people, and that's the name of the game. You can get so caught up in the you can get so caught up in your own needs and your problems that you forget about what you was called to do. And every one of you are called to help people. You're called to tell what great things God has done for you. Huh? And you students, I'm telling you, if you go to ORU or you come to Rhema or you come to Victory Bible Institute or whatever you're doing, you're not there is because of a trade or something like that. You're there and you got to give your life up. It don't belong to you. You're a service to people to help people. And the Christians are the same way. Your life does not belong to you no more. You're in service. Oh, you might have a job, but you're in service to help other people.
Amen.
We must get this selfishness out of our lives. I've got to hurry. I'm almost done. You getting something out of this? Glory. This is just practical stuff that needs to be. Rejoice with them and weep with them. Be of the same mind towards one another. Did you hear that? Be of the same mind one towards another, and mind not the high things. Live in harmony and in one accord. I said live in harmony in one accord with one another. Read that next one for me, Bill. Mind not the high things.
Mind not high things, but common sense in men of low estate.
Did you hear that? Do not unlawfully ambitious to be rich and powerful. Do not shun the poor in courting great men. Be of the same mind. See, here we go again. How many want to walk in the perfect will of God? For us to, of course we're to honor people, don't misunderstand me, and put them in the front row. But we've got to be careful that we're sensitive to everybody's needs that is in this building and not courting to great men or... I got to say this right. A lot of people say, well, I've got a lot of ambitious stuff in me in the ministry. No, because that'll wear out after a while. And being ambitious. You've got to have a call in your life. Are you listening to me? Let me read that again. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Do not unlawfully ambitious to be rich and powerful, and do not shun the poor in courting great men. We need to be in the same mind towards one another. Mind not the high things. Now notice what it says of men of low estate. You know what that means? Associate with humble and godly people going through life with as little show or parade as possible. Don't run around, showy, look at me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know something? God taught me this years ago and has proven. You get so that you got a budget to meet and stuff. If you don't watch it, you'll go to places because of the size of the church or the size because you get a big offering or because another evangelist said, boy, they bless you over there. He said, if he invites you to come, go. He'll really bless you. If we're not careful, we'll go for the money. And you know something? You might not go to that little church just because maybe they didn't have enough people. And you never know, that could be a church of 10,000 people. Just because you won't go. And you think, well, after he gets... I know there was a lot of young men that I went and preached for. And they only had 50 people or something like that. And they were a next big church and didn't even know it. And all those other preachers are banging on his door trying to get in there. And I always have an open door to come. You just got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Huh? That's why I'll never pimp this ministry. That's why I never ask for a certain sum of money to go. I said, take a love offering after I'm done preaching. I think that's fair, a businessman. And my needs being taken care of, financially, the airfare and everything. That's what we have. That's good business. That ain't being slothful. I think everything should be up front. Everything should be up front in order. That way there's no misunderstandings in the area. Are you listening to me? But we got to be careful in these areas. And I got to go on because I'm running out of time. I don't know if you're getting help, but I'm being blessed. Praise God. I tell you, I've been repenting all morning. I'm repenting up here as the Holy Ghost uses me. And be not wise in your own conceits. Do not be self-conceited or vain. I said vain. Huh? Recompense to no man evil for evil. Did you hear that? Never pay back evil for evil to any man. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. In other words, do not live beyond your means. Be honest about what you make. Be honest
about everything in the area of your life. That's one of the reasons why we've had judgment these last few years on the church, is for the fact that we tried to go beyond our needs. You know, we tried to get a flashy car to think that we have faith. But that don't mean anything. You can get a car on credit, didn't mean you have faith. I mean, that has nothing to do what you drive, if you got faith or not. I'll tell you what, faith is paying your bills on time and not going beyond your means and being an idiot. Huh? Lord, forgive us. Moving right along, since that went over real big, I'm telling you, in a minute here, you're going to have to play and give us some inspiration, brother, because we're time to get finished. I told you. God said this is practical. Practical day. There's inspirational days, and then there's practical of the Word of God of everyday life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now notice what it said. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Do not live beyond your means. Then it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. What's he talking about? As far as your responsibility goes to live peaceful. There's some people that won't be peaceful with you, but you can live peaceful on your side. Huh? In other words, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Not all men will live at peace with you, but you can live peace with it. You can go as far as you can go. In other words, brother, I'm sorry. I'm sorry we had a misunderstanding. And if he won't forgive you, then there's nothing you could do it from there. You've done your part. You've walked in love. You went and tried to solve the problem. Are you listening to me? You know, we need to keep our relationships clean. Make sure there's no misunderstandings. And go the extra mile. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Live at peace with other men. Let's read on. If it be possible, as much as lie in you, live peace with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Did you hear that?
Amen.
That's heavy. Give no room for civil... This is what Dake's cross-reference says. Civil laws to be enforced and officers to do their duty. If there are unfaithful and oppressive, let the righteous judge take care of them. Whew. Now that's hard to lay back and let... I'll throw that out to you. Vengeance is mine. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, notice what it said, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Like... Charles Capp said, well, yeah, I know one woman threw hot water on her husband. She thought that's what that meant. No. You should treat your enemies with goodness. And that way you'll bring a burning sense of shame. Have you ever had somebody do you bad and try to rip you off? Do good to them and then let God burn them with shame. Of conviction. If you fight back, then you ganged up with the devil and them, and there'll be that fight. But if you do good, I've done that. I've had people talk to me. I know one man was in the hospital and he had an operation. He hurt me bad. I mean, he talked about me, and the Lord said, now send him some flowers. I said, I'll send him some dynamite. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. I was how mad. I'd send him a nice bouquet of flowers or something, but with some dynamite in it. You know what I mean? I'd blow him up in the hospital room. I mean, that's the way I felt. And God said, now you've got the wrong spirit.
No.
You got the wrong spirit. Now don't laugh at me. But that's the way I felt. I'm just telling you how I felt. And I got and I repented and I sent the man. And you know, he sent me a letter back, a note thanking me for the letters. Then he started in on me again. And then I had to get and forget. But I did what God told me. I went as far as I could do. And it was God's job to put him under conviction and with a burning sense of shame. Is actually what coals of fire is, a burning sense of shame. How many of you have ever got convicted over somebody who's been nice to you and you tried to be mean to them and they're just as nice as they can be to you and you just want them to get mad and fight you or something, you know? Whoa. And then you go off, and then all of a sudden you're getting under conviction and shame. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody just as sweet as can be to you, and you want them, come on, hit me, do something. I want to play with you. You see, what's that preacher talking about, man? We're spiritual. We don't act that way. Yes, you do. This is everyday life. These are things that we have to deal with. I'll guarantee you one of these things has hit every person in here. Because it's hit me a whole bunch of times. It ain't fair for me to... Glory to God. Hallelujah. Give us a little tune there just to get us... Hallelujah. He's under conviction. Just leave him alone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you listening? If thy enemy... hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire, burning sand. Now notice this. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now I like that. Never let evil get the better of you. Get the better of evil by doing good. Woo! I like that. That's how you can overcome that evil, is by doing good. Seven duties that you got to do to your enemy. And that's love them, bless them, do good to them, pray for them, lend to them. Oh, Lord, you'd have to put that in there. Lend to them. Lend to them, be kind to them, be merciful to them. Then it gives seven examples of loving enemies that God did, Abraham did, David did, Elisha did, Jesus did, Stephen did, and Paul did. Glory! You ready to repent now? We was going to have communion this morning, but we didn't get our things ready, or we need to get some communion things and everything. But we'll have communion pretty soon. Did you get something out of that? You see, that's everyday life. It's the little foxes that drain you. It's these little fox here, one little thing that we can't get victory over, that we need to get victory, that destroy our ministries and destroy our life and destroy our joy and our love. I don't know about you, but God really been dealing with me. You can tell by the sermon I preached. He's really been dealing with me this past couple of weeks about my attitude. Let's just put our hands up and praise Him and worship Him. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Your Word brings conviction, not condemnation, but it brings conviction. Now, Father, we repent of our sins. We ask You to wash us right now, according to John 1 John 1:9. You're faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and unrighteousness in our lives, and that we'll walk according to Your will.
Ed Dufresne Ministries is reaching out through a worldwide traveling ministry, miracle and healing crusades, Bible teachings on audio and videotapes and books, evangelistic tent crusades, and a Bible correspondence course for prisoners. Dr. Ed Dufresne is the founder of World Harvest Bible Training Center, located in Murrieta, California, a part-time Bible school dedicated to training believers in the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you would like information about our teaching materials, Bible school, or about becoming a partner with Ed Dufresne Ministries, please write us at P.O. Box 1010, Murrieta, California, 92564. Also, visit our website at www.eddufresne.org. At Ed Dufresne Ministries, we're believing God for 1 million miracles and healings as we carry God's healing power to this generation.